Imagine you're driving down the highway at like 70 miles an hour,
Okay.
and suddenly the car ahead of you just slams on its brakes.
Yeah, terrifying.
Right. But before your foot even like twitches toward the pedal, there's this tiny computer hidden inside your car's dashboard, and it's already calculated the distance, analyzed your speed, and applied the anti-lock brake.
All on its own.
Exactly. It made 1,000 micro adjustments in the literal blink of an eye. You know, it didn't ask your permission, it didn't load a progress bar, it just acted.
Right. And if that system hesitates for even a fraction of a second, I mean, the consequences are catastrophic.
Yeah.
That split-second autonomous decision-making is basically the invisible architecture running, well, our entire modern world at this point.
Which brings us to our mission for today's deep dive. We are exploring the rapidly expanding world of MESE, that stands for Automation and Embedded Systems.
Very timely topic.
It really is. And we're drawing our insights today from a really comprehensive industry and career roadmap put together by a company called Embedded Hash. They lay out this fascinating case for why the engineers who build these invisible systems are suddenly like the most sought-after professionals. Specifically, they're looking at the massive explosion of this field in India.
And, you know, the timing of this documentation is just crucial. We really are at this global inflection point.
How so?
Well, combining software intelligence with physical hardware, it's no longer just a luxury feature for a few high-end products. It's the mandatory baseline for how we manufacture goods, distribute power, build transportation, all of it.
Okay, let's unpack the core concept first because, I mean, automation and embedded systems is kind of a mouthful.
It is, yeah.
When I was going through the embedded hash material, I kept trying to visualize how these pieces actually fit together.
Right.
So, if traditional hardware, like the physical gears and metal of a machine, is the skeleton and the motors are the muscle, I always assume the software was just the brain.
Sure, that's a common way to look at it.
But reading this, it feels more like a reflex arc. It's like touching a hot stove and your hand pulls away before your conscious brain even registers that it's hot.
Oh, that is a much more accurate way to look at it, yeah.
Yeah.
To understand MESE, we have to look at the two halves of that acronym.
Okay.
The first half is the embedded system. So, unlike the laptop or the smartphone you're probably listening to this on right now.
Which does a million different things.
Exactly. It runs web browsers, video games, whatever.
Yeah.
But an embedded system is a highly specialized computer baked into a larger device to do just one specific job flawlessly.
So instead of a massive multi-core processor, we are talking about what? Microcontrollers?
Right, microcontrollers. They are essentially tiny computers on a single chip. They're cheap, they use barely any power, and they are incredibly reliable.
Wow.
But the real magic of an embedded system is the software it runs, specifically the RTOS, or real-time operating system.
Okay, RTOS. Because we are all used to operating systems like Windows or Mac OS,
Yeah.
right? And they're constantly juggling tasks. Like sometimes an app freezes and you get that spinning beach ball. I imagine that is completely unacceptable here.
Oh, absolutely. A spinning beach ball in a consumer operating system is an annoyance.
Oh.
But a spinning beach ball in an automotive engine control unit, that means the engine timing fails and the pistons literally destroy themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Standard operating systems use what we call fairness scheduling. They give a little processing time to your music, a little to your email, a little to your browser.
Right.
And RTOS does not care about fairness. It is entirely deterministic.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning, if a critical task, like deploying an airbag, has a deadline of 2 milliseconds, the RTOS will ruthlessly preempt every single other process to ensure that deadline is met.
It just cuts everything else off.
Exactly. Because a missed deadline isn't just a glitch in this world, it is a total system failure.
Okay, so the embedded system with its microcontroller and RTOS acts as the localized brain, right? Processing sensory input instantly. Then the embedded hash roadmap moves to the second half, automation systems. And this is where the physical action happens.
Yes, automation is about controlling industrial machines and entire processes with, you know, minimal human intervention. And this introduces two major components, PLCs and SCADA systems.
Let's break those down because the acronyms can get heavy. A PLC is a programmable logic controller.
Correct.
How does that differ from the microcontroller we just talked about? Think of a PLC as a like a ruggedized industrial grade computer.
Right.
Well, a tiny microcontroller might be embedded inside your coffee maker, A PLC is a heavy-duty box sitting out on a factory floor.
Oh, so it's built to take a beating.
Exactly. It's designed to survive extreme heat, vibration, electrical noise. It reads the local inputs from industrial sensors like pressure valves or proximity lasers, and it directly commands heavy machinery to move, weld, or cut.
I see. And if the PLC is like the rugged soldier on the ground making the machine move, then SCADA is the command tent.
That is a great analogy, yeah. SCADA stands for Supervisor Control and Data Acquisition.
Got it.
If you have a factory with 500 PLCs running 500 different robotic arms, I mean, a human operator cannot monitor them individually.
Right, that would be impossible.
So SCADA is the central nervous system. It pulls real-time data from every single PLC and creates this high-level visual dashboard. It lets an operator see that, say, a specific valve on assembly line 3 is running 5 degrees too hot.
And they can see that long before it actually breaks.
Exactly.
Which brings us to MIS itself, the convergence of those two halves. It's taking the localized, real-time brains of embedded systems and hooking them up to the massive industrial muscle of automation.
Yes, and what's fascinating here is that convergence fundamentally shifts what machines are capable of.
How so?
It takes us from machines that simply repeat a programmed motion over and over to machines that are aware of their environment. They can dynamically adjust their own behavior based on real-time data without human oversight.
Wait, I have to challenge the scale of this for a second.
Sure. Because if MSEs is just sensing data and triggering an automated response, is the smart microwave in my kitchen operating on the exact same foundational logic as a massive multi-ton robotic arm building cars in a factory?
Conceptually.
Yes.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I mean, they both take analog sensory input, convert it to digital data, process it through an embedded logic controller, and execute a physical action.
Okay, that's wild.
The microwave senses steam to stop cooking. The robotic arm uses advanced optics to perfectly position a weld. What separates them isn't the underlying philosophy.
It's the scale.
The scale, the complexity, the failure modes, and definitely the safety tolerances.
That makes a lot of sense. The stakes are wildly different.
Mm.
And the demand for engineers who understand these high-stakes systems is creating this massive bottleneck in global manufacturing.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to why India is suddenly taking center stage in this domain. All right, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the documentation points out that the global push for Industry 4.0, which is essentially this transition to fully connected, self-optimizing smart factories, has exposed a severe talent shortage.
Because you need people who know both sides.
Exactly. Traditional software engineers understand high-level code, but they don't really know how to interact with physical hardware voltages.
Right.
And traditional electrical engineers understand the hardware, but maybe lack the advanced software architecture skills. MESE engineers sit right in the middle, and there just aren't enough of them.
And India is stepping into that gap with very deliberate force. The roadmap highlights several massive national initiatives.
Yes, it does.
You have the Make in India campaign, the push for digital India, aggressive new policies incentivizing electric vehicle manufacturing, and the National Semiconductor Mission.
What you are seeing is a country actively transitioning. They're moving from being primarily an IT outsourcing hub to becoming a global center for core electronics and physical manufacturing.
That's a huge pivot.
It is. When the government incentivizes companies to build semiconductor fabrication plants and EV mega factories, those facilities cannot run on manual labor.
Yeah.
They are fundamentally designed around MESE.
So what does this all mean for you listening to this? If you're looking at this career path, you know, we see tech trends explode and collapse all the time.
Oh, sure.
Just look at how quickly certain app development fads die out. Is this a classic gold rush scenario where only the early adopters benefit and the bubble is eventually going to burst?
No, it is the exact opposite of a bubble.
Why is that?
Because it is inextricably tied to physical infrastructure. I mean, you could delete an app from your phone in 2 seconds.
Right.
But once a nation builds a multi-billion dollar smart power grid or an automated automotive plant, that infrastructure is permanent. It doesn't go back to manual switches.
Once it's built, it's built.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It requires a permanent, highly paid workforce to maintain, upgrade, and secure those automated systems for decades.
To really understand the permanence and the sheer scale of this, we need to look at how ME is completely rewriting the DNA of almost every industry you interact with on a daily basis.
Definitely.
The embedded hash material outlines applications across a massive spectrum. Let's start with the automotive and EV sector.
This is arguably the most visible transformation right now. A modern electric vehicle is basically a supercomputer on wheels.
Yeah, they really are.
And one of the most critical MES applications here is the battery management system, or BMS.
Right, because an EV battery isn't just like one giant AA battery under the floorboards. It is thousands of individual lithium ion cells packed together.
Exactly. And lithium ion is volatile.
Very.
The BMS is an embedded system that monitors the exact voltage and temperature of every single individual cell hundreds of times a second.
Wow.
If one cell starts to overheat, the BMS instantly reroutes power to prevent a chain reaction. It manages charging rates to prevent degradation.
So without that embedded intelligence?
Without it, the physical battery is essentially a hazard. It would just catch fire.
Yeah. Man. And then you have ADA, Advanced Driver Assistance Systems.
Right.
That's your lane keep assist, your adaptive cruise control. The sensors read the road, the embedded RTOS processes the physics, and the automated actuators turn the steering wheel.
Exactly.
But cars are just one piece. The roadmap dives into healthcare as well.
And healthcare highlights the high reliability requirement of BIM-EA perfectly.
Yeah, I imagine a bug in a smart TV is just an annoyance, but here.
Right. We aren't talking about fitness trackers here. We're talking about automated patient monitoring systems, robotic surgery consoles, and intelligent infusion pumps.
Okay, intelligent infusion pumps. How do those work?
They automatically adjust medication dosages based on real-time biometric feedback from the patient.
Wow. The stakes there are absolute. If a streaming app crashes, you just reload it. But if an intelligent infusion pump crashes,
a patient could receive a lethal dose of medication.
That's terrifying.
That is why the engineering rigor in this field is so immense. You're writing code that interacts with human biology. And we see similar stakes in aerospace and defense.
Oh, of course.
The flight control computers managing a commercial jet's flaps and engines, or the navigation systems guiding a missile. These are pure MAC applications where the acceptable failure rate is strictly zero.
Even on a broader civic level, the roadmap talks about smart cities and agriculture.
Right.
We are talking about embedded soil sensors that talk to automated irrigation networks, watering crops only exactly when they need it, or smart traffic grids that adjust stoplights in real time to clear paths for emergency vehicles.
Looking at that breadth, it becomes clear why this domain is so vast.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Because that vastness brings up a logistical problem.
Okay.
If I'm an engineer looking at this field, does this mean a me engineer has to be a jack of all trades? Like, am I expected to program an aerospace flight controller on Monday and design a smart city traffic grid on Tuesday?
Oh, no, not at all. The industry demands hyper-specialization.
Okay, good.
The foundational skills are universal. You know, you need to understand how microcontrollers process logic and how automated networks communicate. But once you have that foundation, you dive deep into a vertical.
Right, you pick a lane.
Exactly. An engineer working on EV battery management operates under completely different regulatory standards and physics constraints than an engineer programming a robotic arm for pharmaceutical packaging.
Let's talk about those foundational skills then, because the Embedded Hash career map is very specific about what gets you hired.
It is.
At the core, you need programming. And the big three mentioned are embedded C, C++, A, and Python.
Right.
I think a lot of people wonder why C is still the king here. It is a decades-old language. Why don't they just use Python for everything?
But Python, while incredibly powerful, has overhead.
Like what?
Well, it uses things like automatic memory management, which can introduce these unpredictable micro pauses while it cleans up data.
And we talked about this. You cannot have an unpredictable pause in a braking system.
Exactly. C is what we call bare metal programming. It allows the engineer to directly manipulate the physical memory registers on the microcontroller chip with zero translation delay.
It's raw.
It is as close to the raw hardware as you can get without a soldering iron.
So C handles the split-second reflexes down at the hardware level. Where does Python come in?
Python comes in at the higher macro level, often in the SCADA systems or in the cloud.
Okay.
It takes the massive streams of data generated by the embedded microcontrollers and runs high-level analytics or AI models to spot long-term trends.
And the other skills required.
You need the automation side, understanding how to program those PLCs and interface with SCADA dashboards. And then, crucially, you need to understand advanced industry 4.0 concepts, particularly IoT and digital twins.
Digital twins are fascinating.
They really are.
Just to clarify the concept for you, a digital twin is essentially a 100% accurate virtual replica of a physical machine or even an entire factory, right?
Right. Before a company spends $50 million building a physical assembly line, they build it perfectly in software.
That's so smart.
They apply real-world physics to it. Then The MESE engineers write the control code and run it on the digital twin.
Ah, so if there's a problem...
If the code causes a robotic arm to swing into a conveyor belt, it crashes in the simulation. They fix bugs virtually before a single piece of steel is ever cut.
That is incredible risk mitigation.
It saves millions.
And the company's hiring for these skill sets. The roadmap lists a massive mix of global and Indian heavyweights.
A huge variety, yeah.
You have major IT service providers like TCS and Infosys who are building out massive engineering divisions. You have core product companies like Bosch, Siemens, and Intel, and specialized design firms like Tata Elxsi.
They are all fiercely competing for this specific talent.
And that competition is directly reflected in the compensation structure the roadmap lays out.
Yes, it is.
The salary progression is pretty aggressive. For a fresher, someone just entering the field with 0 to 2 years of experience, they're looking at roughly 3 to 6 lakhs per annum.
Right.
But the scale ramps up quickly. A mid-level engineer at 3 to 5 years jumps to 6 to 12 LPA. Seniors hit 12 to 20.
And it keeps going.
Yeah. By the time you reach lead or architect status, with a decade of experience, salaries easily cross 20 to 35 plus LPA.
This raises an important question, though. What is vital to understand about that salary table is that the major leaps in compensation aren't just handed out because you've been at the company for a certain number of years.
Oh, really?
The roadmap notes that the highest premiums go specifically to engineers who master those advanced technologies we just discussed.
So it's the difference between merely maintaining an existing system and architecting a new one?
Exactly. The engineer who can keep a PLC running makes a good living, but the architect who can integrate AI into that PLC, connect it to a digital twin, and enable the factory to predict its own maintenance failures before they happen. That person commands the 35-plus LPA salary.
Okay, I have to ask the practical question for our listeners.
Go for it.
The source mentions ECE students. Electronics and communication engineering are the ideal candidates because they already understand hardware.
That's true.
But for a listener who maybe only have a basic software background or is totally new to PLCs and SCADA, is this an impossible mountain to climb?
It's not impossible, but it requires a very specific environment to learn.
Meaning?
You cannot master MESE by watching theoretical videos or writing code on a laptop simulator. Because you are dealing with the physical world, your code interacts with actual electrical currents.
Right. If you write bad code in a web browser, you get an error message. If you write bad code for a physical actuator,
you can literally burn out a motor or snap a mechanical joint.
Yikes.
Which is why hands-on physical laboratory experience is the only way to become employable in this field. You have to see how sensors interpret physical noise and how microcontrollers behave when they are starved for power.
And that is exactly where the embedded hash training approach comes in.
Exactly.
Knowing the destination is great, but getting the practical training is the hurdle. The roadmap emphasizes that their curriculum is entirely focused on bridging that gap between academic theory and industry reality.
And that's vital.
They provide the actual hardware, the microcontrollers, the PLCs, the SCADA setups. They take someone with raw programming potential and put them through real-time physical projects.
Because they act as the translation layer. They turn a student who understands the mathematics of code into an engineer who understands the physical consequences of that code.
That's a great way to put it.
And by pairing that intensive, hands-on laboratory work with direct placement assistance, they provide a pipeline straight into the company's driving industry 4.0.
So institutes like Embedded Hash act as that necessary bridge to being truly industry ready.
Absolutely.
All right, let's pull all this together for you. MEA automation and embedded systems is not just a high-paying career path. It is the architectural foundation of our automated future.
It really is.
By fusing the high-speed, bare metal logic of embedded brains with the industrial muscle of automated machines, this field is making everything from autonomous cars to life-saving medical devices possible.
Yeah.
And with massive permanent infrastructure shifts happening across India, the demand for the engineers who can build and tame these systems is only going to accelerate.
We are looking at a rare alignment where national industrial policy and cutting-edge technological evolution are moving in the exact same direction.
Right.
It's creating decades of highly secure, deeply impactful engineering work.
It is an incredible shift to witness. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over.
Okay.
We've spent this deep dive talking about giving machines a localized brain to make split-second decisions and giving them the automated muscle to physically act on those decisions.
Yeah.
But as these systems scale up, they stop operating in isolation.
They become networked.
Right. So if embedded systems are becoming the brains of every physical object around us, what happens when the smart traffic lights start communicating directly with the autonomous cars?
Or the local power grid starts negotiating energy loads with the smart factory.
Exactly. When millions of embedded systems begin interacting and optimizing our physical world in ways we didn't explicitly program, in a fully automated industry 4.0 smart city, who is ultimately responsible for the actions of the system?
That is the million-dollar question. When the reflex arc of the machine becomes faster and more complex than the human ability to monitor it, the line between engineering and ethics gets very, very thin.
Something to think about the next time your car hits the brakes before you do. Keep questioning the smart machines around you. Look for the invisible systems making your world work, and never stop learning. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.